Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in. This is Raja. Hope you had a great week. Well, I'm going to start off by wishing the Marines happy birthday. I hear it's the 243rd birthday. Rob's here. And I want to thank all the Marines in the audience. Thank you for your service, ladies and gentlemen. You have kept our country safe and prosperous over the years. Actually, CEI sponsored, just recently, my company sponsored, it's called the Steel City Awards. It's the U.S. Marine Corps Scholarship for the children of the Marines in our region. A good friend who works with me, Will Kennewell, he's the co-chair of this. So we were glad to sponsor and be part of the program here for the Marines. Thank you all. So this past week, I was in warm, sunny Bermuda. And I come back and I see that the cold is settled in here. I was at a hospitality conference. This is the first time that I was at a hospitality conference. I am, as you know, my business is a technology business, but starting to evaluate the hospitality field off late. Lots of big hotel names were there, Marriott, Hilton, Caesars, Club Med, they were all up there. And I got to spend some time with at the conference with Lance Shaner. And he's the founder of Shaner Hotel Group. This group owns over 51 hotels. He's based in State College, one of the largest Marriott franchises in the country. Now, Lance is a true rags-to-riches story. He was telling me, how hard it was in the beginning. He didn't have money to, he was working in a Subway shop, didn't have money to buy subs from the store where he was working at. He was, pretty much from, being broke to now owning a couple private jets. So true American dream, and we're going to have him on the show. So when you hear from him, you can see that anybody who wants to work hard, take the right risks, and do things right can achieve the American dream. Also got to spend some time with Plato Ginos, who's the president of the Shaner Hotel Group. And Plato is someone, I didn't know anyone at the conference except Lance and Plato. They made me feel very much at home there. And Plato is one of those people who can talk to anyone. He talks to anyone and everyone. He can open a conversation with anybody out there. Now I like talking to new people. I enjoy meeting and talking to new folks, different experiences. But not my wife, though. If you talk to my wife, she calls it small talk. She's like, I hate that small talk that we have to do every time. I'm like, I don't know, maybe because I came here when I was 20 years old as a student. Maybe it was a necessity because I didn't know anyone. Or maybe having been a CEO for, 27 years now, you sort of learn to do this, right? When I go for meetings, I'm usually flying out for the day for a 1-2 hour meeting, and you have to sort of get the conversation started with whoever it is so that you can get to know them. It's not my style to go there and talk business right off. That's just not me. I have to go there and sort of get to know the person. So and I think that's part of what we would call is good customer service to do this. And I saw this in the hotel industry, in the hospitality. In fact, my business is no different than what they were all pitching. That was two things, essentially, quality and customer service. That's what they were pitching. And you're talking about, like, the Ritz-Carlton, the Waldorf Astoria. These are the people at the hospitality conference. And when you talk about exceptional customer service, there's one company that comes to mind, that comes to the top of my mind. I'm sure you'll agree with this. And this company has the mission statement, we create happiness. This is a national company. That's what they do. We create happiness. So stay tuned. I'll share with you who this company is and why they are so exceptional. But today I'm absolutely delighted to have in studio, coming up in the next segment here, is John Walsh. And John Walsh is from Bethel Bakery. And ladies and gentlemen, there are two things about him, too, that's 60 years of success. But if you go to their website, this is what I read there. Exceptional quality and customer service. This is what I read. And their mission is to be Pittsburgh's premier bakery, creating an exceptional product and customer service experience to new and loyal customers everywhere. And I assure you, they come from everywhere. You know, I had a couple friends who stopped me the other day when Daryl sent out the email. And they're like, I hear you have John on the show. You know, when I got married, I went there and I had to, and they had to make my cake this way. And this girl went on to tell me for 5 minutes the details of the cake that one of John's folks helped her bake. It was great. So we're going to talk to John about this. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I go to the show and to the conference and stuff because that's my learning. I've been out of school for a long time. But I need to learn. The other way I learn is I read books. So since we were talking about customer service today, and particularly because John Walsh was coming on when I read this exceptional quality in customer service, I read a book by Jeff Kober and Bob McLean, and I'll tell you in a bit more about this book. And so I picked up a concept that I didn't know before, and I think I'm in customer service. You know, that's what I think as a CEO. I'm out there being sort of the front lines with meeting with clients and employees. But I didn't know two concepts, and I'll share with you both. Our first is, these folks say, not to treat your client as a customer, but as a guest. I didn't know this. Again, my learning, this is what I learn every time. So what does that mean? Well, if you invited a guest over to your house, you're going to spruce up your house, you're going to, you're going to dress up, your kids are going to dress up, you're going to make food that they like, and, whatever drinks they like. And it's important what they like, right? That's the important thing. Because let's say chocolate milk was your favorite. You're not serving them just chocolate milk. You're serving them what do you think they want. That's the huge difference. And they've taken that to call this the golden rule and the platinum rule. And the golden rule is, it's doing unto others as you are done to yourself. So that's the golden rule. It's like, so if you like chocolate milk, you serve them chocolate milk. That's the golden rule, which I thought would have been a good standard. But no, I learned that, no, it's a platinum rule, right? And what is that? It's doing unto others as they would have done unto themselves. So that's really, it sounds common sense, very much common sense, but really, to put it in practicality, I got to tell you, I was in Miami, I think a few weeks ago. I was in the car rental. I was renting a car, and there were two customer service reps there, and the manager was sitting there. And I don't know what she was doing. So we got there. It wasn't a huge line. It was just, but I waited like more than half hour, and there were only two people in front of me. It's just like, and it got so, and I'm like, come on, can we get moving? And this lady looks up, she sees this, and she wouldn't move. She just kept, I keep thinking she was playing crossword puzzles. Again, I have no idea what she was doing. But the fact is she could see everybody in line was getting irritated. But she never got up to come say, open up another counter or even say something like, hey, can I, it's delayed for this or nothing. So, and I could hear the whole line talking about this. So I think that was the golden rule versus platinum rule. She was probably using the rule like, hey, she'd wait in line knowing maybe sometimes car rental lines take half hour, an hour, I don't know. But she certainly wasn't using the rule of what the customers were doing. So if I was in her shoes, I would have certainly, got up and opened another counter out there. So we're going to go, come to a break in a minute or so. But really, going back, just think about this. What is the company that has the mission statement, we create happiness? Exceptional customer service, and that's the same thing we're going to hear from our guest when we come back after the break. So if you want to email me, you could do so at it's Raja, R-A-J-A, at therajashow.com. We're also on Facebook, iTunes, Twitter, and YouTube. So you can, let me know. I'll give you another quick story. Of a good customer service. I told you one bad one, one good one. I was taking a flight at 6:30 in the morning just recently, and the flight was, once we got off, the pilot announced that we have to wait on the tarmac for an hour and a half. Everybody was annoyed. But he came back and said, free drinks to everybody. I tell you what, there was a round of applause that went through the plane. I couldn't believe how many people drank free drinks at 6:30 in the morning. He said, as long as we stayed in the tarmac, he said, you could have free drinks. Unbelievable. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with John Walsh. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and joining me right now is John Walsh from Bethel Bakery. Since Bethel Bakery opened for business in 1955 in the South Hill section of Pittsburgh, generations of patrons have made their way to the shop for the bakery's signature pastries, cookies, coffee cakes, and one-of-a-kind cakes. Morris and Anna Walsh together built the boutique bakery into one of the busiest and most beloved purveyors of high-quality baked goods in Western Pennsylvania. And they did this while raising 7 children, all of whom would eventually work in the family business. Today, a second generation of the Walsh family manages the bakery. John and his wife, Chris, took over the day-to-day operations in 1991 and expanded the already extensive inventory of baked goods. But Morris and Anna's legacy of exceptional quality and customer service lives on. Ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about exceptional quality and customer service, and we're going to talk to John about that. People travel for miles for a taste of Bethel Bakery's signature buttercream ice cream, and brides across the region wouldn't dream of celebrating their wedding with anything but a handcrafted, custom-designed Bethel Bakery cake decorated by one of the shop's talented designers. In 2006, Bethel Bakery's iconic status in the region was recognized by award-winning documentary filmmaker Rich Sabak, who featured the bakery in his QED's program, What Makes Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh. In an era driven by convenience and competition from mega markets and chain stores, Bethel Bakery has endured because it's far more than just a retailer of baked goods. It's a memorable destination experience and a nostalgic reminder of the charms of independent bakeries that were once part of the fabric of every community. John, welcome to the show, John.
Raj, a pleasure to be here.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is a radio show. You can't see the smile on my face, and you can't see the smile on the staff here. John brought us this wonderful tray of baked goods here. And I see Rob is stealing a couple cookies here, which is great. I already did that. I couldn't wait. And in this tray, we have a terrible towel. And, John, you are the only one authorized to do so, right?
That's right, Rasha. We have the actual copyright on the terrible towel cookies. So we're the only one that's licensed to do that in the city, and we do it with a lot of pride.
And that's
a delicious shortbread cookie, and it looks just like the terrible towel.
It does.
Put it on your TV for continued victories.
And the Steelers have been doing great. So certainly, John, thank you for bringing this tray in. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, you know, everyone here has got a smile year to year here. So as you know, this is a pro-business show, and generally I would ask the question, what is your secret sauce? So, John, in this case, it's just it's a little closer. Secret icing? What is it? 60 years of success. That's hard.
Right. Well, really, our foundation, one of the keys has been our French buttercream. But when you really come to this, you know, what is that secret sauce or buttercream? Really, for us, the way I see it is that, you know, baking is truly a labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to connect with people that are looking to work in an industry that's where their passion is.
Okay.
Because that's the way they'll care. Because I always say to my employees, you know, I can't pay you to care, but if it's right inside them, it's a part of how they're wired, yeah, then they care, and that care goes to all the customer wow that we receive.
And I tell you, I was on your Facebook page and Twitter page looking. There is an unbelievable sort of a community that you have created, and part of this you give back, and even the terrible towel. Is that does a certain give back to the community?
Well, certainly a proceeds of all the terrible towel sales goes to Allegheny Valley School, but we're really honored to be a part of so many special days and events of our customers. There's always a baked good, in my mind, that pairs well with an event. And you don't have to spend a mountain to do that. You know, something small can mean a lot because they know that you made a special stop,
right,
for something they can't get just anywhere.
Right. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, you know, you have to go to Bethel Bakery. So, John, where are you located? You know, you've got a couple locations now. And how do our viewers sort of schedule with you?
Well, our flagship store, we've been there in Bethel Park for 63 years. My parents started it in 1955. We're on Brightwood Road in Bethel Park, right down from the municipal building, very close to the main entrance of South Park.
Mm-hmm.
And our second location, we will be in North Strabane for 2 years, effective December 1st, is right on Route 19 South in North Strabane at the light between Sonic and Sheets.
Okay.
We love it there.
Oh, that's great. We'll come back to your locations and your offerings here. Now, you said your parents started it. What really started what gave your parents the idea to start it?
I love sharing this story.
Okay.
My dad was actually orphaned by the time he was 10 years old, and his aunt and uncle raised him along with his grandparents on a farm in Bethel Park.
Wow.
And my aunt had taken a job as a sales associate at Dutz Bakery. And so when my dad turned 16, he had the opportunity and took advantage of her connection with the bakery, and he was hired as a cleanup kid at 16 at Dutz Bakery in Mount Lebanon. He actually would work 12-hour shifts. He would start at midnight on Friday night and work till noon on Saturday morning.
Wow.
And then he would take the streetcar home, and then he would walk like a mile till he got to his house in Bethel Park on Braun Road. And he did that, and that was after a day of school and playing football.
Oh, my God.
So that right there showed you the drive that he has and still has to this day at 90. Still getting on his roof of his house and golfing twice a day.
Oh, my.
He's truly an exceptional person. So that drive was seated with his job right there at Dutz.
And then all the children in the business. And so you grew up knowing baking, all of that?
Right. I'm the oldest of the seven that my parents had, and we all grew up in a bakery. And I know my parents would say, that's one of their biggest highlights, and I've now experienced that as my kids grew up in the bakery, of knowing where they're at and being a part of a great team and really a family bakery that there's really nothing like it, because just this past week we celebrated my sister's 40 years. She's served in the CIA, and so, of course, nothing goes without bakery. It's a celebration. Mm-hmm. It's paired with bakery. So we're taking these big, whopping, big four trays of mini cupcakes down to the CIA headquarters for this, you know, award ceremony. And my sister, at the end of her award ceremony, you know, credited the bakery, because she said, before the bakery, she said, I was this shy, introverted young lady that couldn't look a customer in the eye. But after her experiences of working in the bakery, working front and back, all different ages, you know, she left the organization with could lead. And it was such a great springboard for a future career for all of us.
Yeah. So and you talk about, being a shy kid. And this is customer service, right? You look people in the eye, you smile, you shake the hand if you could. What kind of training? You know, you have exceptional customer service. So what is the training? One, you've already said, is you hire the people who sort of have that inclination already. But what else makes this so special over all these years?
Well, I think they feel a connection. Like when they're hired, they're told about the history, you know. And just like you said earlier, they're a guest. You know, you never ignore a guest. You know, you clean up, you try and keep things ready. You know, your presentation is the best you can. You know, it's that 10-4 rule. If they're within so many feet, you make sure you give them the eye contact and a smile, a hello. You listen for what they're looking for. Some people come in, they don't know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe it's their first time and they're – they're trying to figure out what's the best thing. So you find out, okay, well, what's your favorite thing? Is it chocolate? Is it nuts? Is it something Danish?
Yeah.
Is it a cookie? Is it this or that? And you just kind of grow from that. You know, you make sure they get a cake server if they've not been with us before, or a magnet, or, you know, just make them feel part of the family.
Wow.
That we're welcome to have them.
Now, you certainly have made, the Pittsburgh residents part of your extended family here. Now, you say it's one of the best things growing, you know, all the kids, 7 children growing the business. But I have to ask you, from a business perspective, you're working with your brothers and sisters. What happens if you disagree with them? You're going to have to go spend Christmas with them.
Well, I worked with my sister, Christine, for many years. And I guess what really helped out is she always told me, John, I am so happy to work in the capacity that I do, she said. But I want you to know, I don't want to own it. So, you know, right there, she respected, we had mutual respect for what we delivered and what our position, how we served in the company.
Okay.
So, growing up as kids, I mean, you know, you kind of just followed the step of your parents.
Right.
You know, what the biggest need was.
So when I told my wife I was, you were coming in, first she said, hey, can you, are we going to get some goods back home? The second question, were your kids, looking to be part of the business?
Well, I did tell them early on. I said, there are a lot of things Dad can't teach you. You need to have the experience of working outside the business. So right now they're all in that because they're in their 20s. They're all in their a time period of working for someone else. They all have really cool jobs that could transfer into great leadership positions, however they would serve in the bakery at some point.
So you like the idea of them sort of getting some worldly experience, even if they were to go back into the business. So you would say go back and...
Definitely, because I think that they'll bring some added value and experiences that would just be such a value to the business.
And you have scaled now. Your parents started it. You have scaled. You have a second generation. And when I look at all this competition that's there, now Giant Eagle or Starbucks or now Uber Eats, they're all delivering all kind of stuff. So how do you, from a business perspective, customer service is one, but what do you see as the continued differentiation for the success of your business?
Well, like I said, it's that level of care that our employees put into their product. They're putting that care in, and it shows, that level of care just continues to bring about product that people will make that special stop for.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the biggest compliment that a customer makes, is because everybody's most precious resource is their time.
Right.
And for them to make a stop where there is nothing else there except bakery, we have to deliver, and that's our pleasure.
Yeah, no, and certainly you have delivered over the years. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, and whatever the occasion is, it could be a birthday, you could be, you're getting married a little while out. If you have not checked Bethel Bakery out, absolutely, that's what you need to do. So we're going to go to a break in just a couple seconds here. There's 2 stores of Bethel Bakery here. I have their... John Walsh runs his bakery, truly exceptional. So, we'll be right back with John. It's your host, Raja. Right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have been talking with John Walsh, who owns and operates Bethel Bakery for 63 years. Continued success, a true destination. Like I said, a friend of mine who got my email. She walks on and says, oh, I can't believe you have John on. That's where I got my wedding cake. And I'm telling you, across the board, all across our region, across Pittsburgh, Bethel Bakery is a favorite for our residents here. So, John, before I go back to ask you some questions, Baker's Dozen, why is it 13 instead of 12?
I have no idea, but my guess is probably it was one of those days where you over-projected, and then the snow came, and you were trying to push push a little bit more product, and it's like, okay, hey, if you bought a dozen, you are happy to this 13th Long John, because we do have plenty more.
Ah, that's awesome. That's awesome. We always get one extra one when you say it's the baker's dozen. Now, the one thing is, you know, when I talk to the community, the focus on community is so strong. And I see the Snowflake Express, Savannah's Dream, when I look at you. Can you share some of the community sort of relations that you're working on?
You know, I look back and see where colleagues of mine have had their bakeries over the year, and I think that's been one of the blessings for us, is that Bethel Park has, just the fact of our location, has been a key to our longevity. It's been a great community to open a bakery back in 1955, and it's still a very solid community, you know, both now and into the future. And it's our pleasure to give back to the neighborhoods that consider us their hometown bakery, and we're honored to be a part of that. I remember back in May, we had a young lady, her name is Savannah. She came on board on a Saturday. This was part of Jamie's Dream Team. And, you know, she was experiencing the bakery from front to back, every department.
Okay.
This was her dream. She had, you know, a very difficult history of health and that. And we were just actually, at the end of the day, sad to see her go, because we witnessed such potential there.
Yeah.
And her family just had a great time from front to back. It was great. We've also had the opportunity to partner with the Allegheny Health Network, their cancer institute in Bethel Park. You know, when patients finish their last treatment, we're there to celebrate with them with one of our itty-bitty cakes. You know, the Terrible Towel cookies, like I mentioned, and Bethel Bounty. I came into the studio today, and Brock was there. He goes, am I going to see you at Bethel Bounty? I said, yeah, you know we're going to be there. I said, no, we're a sponsor, we're a vendor, and we're also an attendee. This is a fundraising arm of the Bethel Park Community Foundation,
yeah,
and really something that we so look forward to, because, you know, all the proceeds go to the community, and there's no agenda. It's just come on in and graze and eat and enjoy your company. You know, it's open to my entire management team, and we just have a good time because we get to see each other all dressed up instead of in baker uniform, and then also get to see 300 people in the community, and it's a great time. We sponsor lots of local kids' sports teams and, you know, support all kinds of fundraisers, whether they're medical-related or Rotary clubs, and, you know, even donating cake decorating classes for fundraisers for the MS Society or South Hills Interfaith Ministries. We support the Bethel Park Mayor's 90th Luncheon, which my dad was the first time he could go this year, which was really cool. Things like the Veterans Service Dogs and, of course, our own flood victims that we had this year. So, you know, we're just blessed to be able to give back and to a community that's been so faithful and so loyal to supporting us over the years.
And we are blessed to have you in our neighborhood, John. Now, you said your dad turned 90 or turns 90?
He turned 90 in May.
90 in May, okay. Big Bethel Bakery cake?
Yes, of course. It was a great celebration, and everybody came in for it, and just a wonderful time.
That's great. That's great. So when people come in, is there a favorite that you know? I know customer, like my friend said, she wanted this custom design thing. But is there a favorite among the customers of what they're looking for?
Well, naturally, when you have like a special landmark celebration, you know, one of those with a zero behind the number, there's a lot of planning. And, you know, I'm going to one at the end of the month across the street, and I just, you know, there's a lot of planning that goes into that. And, you know, to me, bakeries are an extension of your love for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things that you really plan and look forward to, and you give thought and time and energy to every component, and especially the cake, because it is the centerpiece. You know, when you think of photo cakes, you know, you can't get more custom than that, because
right,
that's a picture of them I always remember back a while ago, my wife's uncle was celebrating his 70th birthday, and we had two pictures. One, it was he was in the service, and one that was, you know, his current picture. And he said, "Oh, you can cut that one on the right, that older current picture, but save that young picture. We're saving that one, you know." So, you know, it's the customness of that that people embrace and really remember. Of course, you know, you can buy a itty-bitty cake or half a dozen cupcakes for somebody that, you know, got a great report card, and all those moments along the way are really fun to celebrate, and we're there for that. But we're really there to create that big memory for those.
That special
occasion. Those big numbers.
Yeah.
And the weddings and the showers and
that's
all
great.
Those, you know, events that are sometimes just once in your lifetime. How many times do you turn 60?
That's right.
Or
that's
70?
Right. That's right.
You know,
that's right.
The one-shot deal.
That's right. So has the recipe, you know, your French buttercream is what, you know, is one of the things that everybody
right.
talks about. Has the recipe been the same over the years, or did you have to tweak it? And Coca-Cola's not patented, you know. They decided that they were not going to publish the recipe, the ingredients of it, because they said, you want to copy it, you copy it, because the patent expires. And Coca-Cola said, okay, feel free, whoever wants to copy, we're not giving you the stuff. Well, I don't know what the year is, 75 years
right.
or whatever. They're like, we're not going to patent. So is your French buttercream recipe, what, you know?
Absolutely. You don't tweak a winner.
You don't tweak a winner.
No, you don't.
Safely guarded family secret?
Yes. You know, for like 50 years, the only person that really knew the recipe off the top of his head was my uncle that worked for us for over 50 years, my uncle Henry Stockhausen. Interesting story on that
yeah.
is that we had three graduates from the 1957 class of Bethel Park work for us for over 50 years.
Oh.
And one of them, Rich North, still works for us 3 days a week.
Wow.
So, yeah, we've had the recipes for a long time, and that buttercream recipe, like a friend of mine said, John, you could put our buttercream on anything and it would sell. And that's true, but it's safely guarded recipe, but cherished.
Okay, love it, love it. Now, you got the second location, right? So,
yes.
what, from what I understand, huge success. And so where are you headed with the second location, and where do you see near term? What changes do you see?
Well, that was the second location was birthed out of, after 60 years of being in a certain location, to a certain extent, there's just so much you can do from one extension, from one store, and our customer base continuing to grow, and everybody's key component to shopping a lot of times is convenience. And I could never get in the mind of our customer when they would say, you're so tucked away. But I get that now that we're making that trip to North Strabane every day. It's awesome to be on a major thoroughfare and just, over the hill from the Canonsburg exit of 79 and close to 70. It's been a great move for us. And our manager out there, Mandy, does an awesome job. But again, supported by the whole team at Bethel Park because that's where everything is produced.
Any more locations in the works?
I think right now we are so busy maintaining the demand out there. It's been unbelievable. And so nothing immediate, but always thinking.
Always thinking. Always. That's
always
what you
thinking.
Do as a business person, as an entrepreneur. Now, what can we expect for the holidays? Christmas is coming up.
And then we got Thanksgiving. In fact,
Thanksgiving,
the platter
yeah.
that I brought here has our novelty cupcakes on it, some with pumpkin, some with piped on buttercream turkeys on it. We have a new item that we're going to showcase this holiday season. It's a tower of baked goods. Looks like almost like a wedding cake. It's three boxes stacked on top of one another. And you know, one has one of our white chocolate wreath cakes in it, and the next box up has one of our nut petites in it, the original Slovenian recipe that my dad started back in 55. and, you know, a variety of cookies and miniature lady locks, but the presentation is a really a wow. And so we're anticipating that to be a big seller this year, along with all the traditional items that we make, all our, like, the unique cookies we make at Christmas, like the pecan clouds and the pfeffernusse and all those kind of holiday-driven cookies.
John, this continues to make me hungry. The more you mention this, I'm ready to eat this whole tray here and then come over to your store now for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. So, I'm here. We have 30 seconds. So, again, how do our listeners come out to your store? The website is BethelBakery.com.
Right, BethelBakery.com. You can order online. You can have it picked up at North Strabane or Bethel Park as long as you have that 48-hour notice. You can join our Facebook. We have close to 16,000 followers on there, Instagram, Twitter, and our main location is in Bethel Park.
Bethel Park. Thank you. You know, John, it's truly been a delight to have you in studio. Much success, and you have to come back, again, to give us an update. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Pleasure.
All right. Thank you. Roger. All right. That was John Balls from Bethel Bakery. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed the segments with John Walsh. 63 years of success, Bethel Bakery. If you are, have a big occasion, your 60th birthday, graduation, wedding, absolutely it's the place to go. And the one thing I want to also share is, I see this terrible towel here and, Thanksgiving decorated cupcakes here. So, but the one other thing also to mention is, pepperoni and cheese rolls. You've got to go out there and try them out for yourself. So, and John, talked about a little bit about the customer service that runs deep within the organization, right? And he said that's the difference. The people who have this sort of trait, and it comes from the heart, and that's the, if you can say, even though it's the recipe is closely guarded, he credited the secret sauce to be, the people who work there, their warm hearts, their customer service, their empathy. And that's sort of what we talked about at the beginning too. So, and I asked you, what was the one organization with exceptional customer service, whose mission statement was, we create happiness. So, and I think you'd agree with me. And this organization is Disney Theme Parks. And their mission statement was very simply, we create happiness. So 1955, that's what it was. But then in 1971, they changed it to, we create happiness by providing the finest in entertainment. And then they added a little bit in 1990, and they said, we create happiness by providing the finest in entertainment to people of all ages everywhere. So they sort of expanded what their focus was. So what does this mean, we create happiness? I don't know. You've been there to Disneyland. I've been there many times. And that is a happy place. You walk in there, you're happy. And I say this about Waynesburg, too. When I said this the last time, I walked in there and everybody's happy. Same like Disneyland is super happy. Right? But let me give you, what does this exceptional customer service mean? And this is a true story, ladies and gentlemen, of an 18-year-old popcorn seller. So what does an 18-year-old popcorn seller do in Disneyland? He pops the popcorn, he boxes the popcorn, and he sells the popcorn every day. Every day, they're open 365 days a year from the time the park opens to the time the park closes. That's your job. What do? You pop the popcorn, you box the popcorn, and you sell the popcorn. But this 18-year-old, and I don't want to use a kid, popcorn seller, so he's there, and in the middle, he notices two older ladies there. In front of Sleeping Beauty Castle. So one takes a photo of the other, then they change, and the other lady takes a photo of the other person. And he could see they were not comfortable asking others to take a photo of the two of them. You could see there were just two of them. So what does the 18-year-old do? For great customer service, he leaves the popcorn station. He says, can I take a photo of the two of you in front of Sleeping Beauty Castle? So he did. So it's an act of kindness, you could say. Good customer service, you can say that. But in this case, it's more. So I'm going to read And he didn't know this at the time he took this photo. So he got, there was a letter. Disney got a letter a few months later. And I'm going to read this letter verbatim to what it says. And it says, to whom it may concern, a few months ago, my sister and I went to Disneyland together. While there, the popcorn seller, and I won't use the name, it says, you know, stop by to take a picture of both of us in front of the castle. And please see a copy of the enclosed photo. What the popcorn seller didn't know was that my sister and I had not been on speaking terms for 20 years. When I learned she was facing chemo for cancer, we made amends by coming to your park and spending some time together. The photo you see enclosed is not the only one taken of us together in some 20 years. I'm so grateful to the young popcorn popper who took the time to take the photo. I'm indebted for having this last memory. So, ladies and gentlemen, very powerful, great customer service from this young kid, and this really happened. Now, Disney, like I asked John Walsh this. So, John, you know, has, like he said, he hires the right people, and they're all taught to make eye contact and smile and all of this. So, Disney has 7 service guidelines that they post all the time. So, and this is sort of the 7. I'll tell you real quickly. It's posted backstage. In a number of places where the employees can see. It says, first, make eye contact and smile. Second says, greet and welcome each and every guest. Third, it says, seek out guest contact. Then it says, provide immediate service. Display appropriate body language is 6. It's 5. 6 is, you know, preserve the magical guest experience. And 7 is thank every guest. It's relatively straightforward, you'd assume, but it's having the guidelines in and sort of empowering the employees to follow this. And for me, just like John, this is sort of what, you know, my business is about, quality and customer service too. So I'm all about this. And I tell you, we talked a little bit with John. For me, the smile, it always starts with a smile. You smile. You make eye contact. A firm handshake. And for me, I ask for the name. If I go for a meeting, and I'm really bad at remembering names, so I actually have to write down many times what it is. But in the conversation, there is no better way to start and have a good conversation than by calling the person by their name. Really, really, really important. It sounds very simple, but that's a great way to start to build a relationship. And that's what I do. I said I travel many times for a 1-hour meeting, 2-hour meeting. I'm in a flight the morning, 2-hour meeting, and I'm back. And so when you get there, how do you start the conversation? I'll share what I do. And you see if this fits with what you do. The first thing is you observe, right? That's the first thing. So if I see somebody and, you know, today we have a big game coming up, if they have a Pitt shirt or a Virginia Tech shirt, you know, they went to these schools. That's a great place to start. And by the way, I'm digressing here. I went to both schools, so I will be following this game right after the show here. Big game coming up, Pitt versus Virginia Tech. That's a great way to start a conversation. You went to Pitt. What year did you go? Did you like the Virginia Tech? Do you like the Hokies? Easy to do. But sometimes if I go to an office, it's easy. I sit there and look at what is around the office. The photos tell you a lot, right? A picture of a golf course tells me that the person likes golf. So I'm like, how often do you play golf? Or what's your handicap? That's easy. You can see a photo of their daughter in a ballet outfit. Where does your daughter go to ballet? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, no one taught me this stuff. This is stuff that I sort of picked up watching others do this. So over the past 27 years, so there's a vacation in front of Eiffel Tower. When did you go to Paris? Just something to do this. And if you can't find any of this, just go fall back to the normal. Boy, it's a cold day, right? The weather is great. Sports, the Steelers did great. Current events, all of that stuff. And John said this, this is probably the most important thing that you could do. And John Walsh said this when he said they smile and greet them. He used the word listen. That is the most important thing that you can do. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not very good at it. And I've been learning 27 years. I'm trying to still learn. Because many times I hear and I want to interject with something that my experience that relates to it or not. But I'm learning, you know, I'm just learning over the years to just stay quiet and listen. And that's the most important thing. It's not Because there's a lot of stuff in what people say that if you truly listen, that you will decipher. And if it's great, if you're face-to-face, there's a lot of nonverbal stuff that you can do. But I'll tell you some of the things that I would say you should not do if you're trying to open a conversation. Just don't talk about yourself. And don't say stuff that sounds cryptic or canned. And then, don't sort of, I would say, go on peppering the person with questions. The whole point is to get them to speak so you can listen. And once you get, the whole point is to get to know somebody so you can serve them better, right? So that's the starting point. To serve somebody better, you got to know what their likes are and what their dislikes are. This is a platinum rule, right? Do what they would do to themselves, but you have to know what they like. So that's the critical thing, is to listen. And you've got to lead by, example. And I'll ask you this question though. Let's say you're at work. All of us go to work. What do you do when you see a crumpled ball on the floor as you're walking to your office? Well, do you pick it up and throw it away, or do you step over it? What do you do if you see coffee spilled on the floor? Are you going to get some napkins and clean up the thing, or at least will you go tell the appropriate admin in charge that someone has spilled coffee? Well, that's a test to ask. How do you do this? So we all need to lead by example. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be a manager to be a leader. We talked about this, and if you missed that segment, you can go to my website. It's the Raja Show, RAJA at therajashow.com. It's my email. You can send it, and I'll tell you the segment. And I'll tell you, at Disney, everybody leads. And you ever wonder why Disney is so clean? You go to Disney, everything is so clean. Because at Disney, everybody picks up the trash. Everybody. And I mentioned this phrase to you, we create happiness. That may be the first rule. But the second rule is everybody picks up trash. That's the rule at Disney. And no cast member, no one, even the vice president walking up, if they see a leftover napkin, a park map, empty water bottle, they do pick it up. So that's important. And the one other thing I would tell you, leading by example, is how do you handle when the situations when things don't go well? And in Disney, 99% of the guests are having fun. But there is a one person who's annoyed and irritated. These people are hungry, tired, confused, frustrated, maybe missing their luggage, their tickets, are waiting in line, cameras, phone, they left their phone somewhere. How do you handle them? And that's the crucial test of good customer service, right? How do you handle this 1%? And you may think it's only 1%, but I tell you what, the 99% is watching. It's the same thing with me, because I only get pulled in to handle troubled situations. I go in there, somebody's mad, maybe a client or employee or whoever. And I heard this from during the conference too, both Lance and Plato, who run their companies. That's what they do. They get involved when there's problems. But I tell you what, while you're addressing the situation, the rest of your team is watching you. It's by your actions. So I'll tell you sort of my style real quickly. The first thing I do is I listen, then I sort of empathize with them, try to understand, their feelings, try to, find the right solution. And then I use this as an opportunity to build trust, do the right thing. And lastly, make sure it never happens again. So I think these are all critical things for us as leaders to provide good customer service. I think I'm coming to the end of the segment here. So the book I told you, the first segment, ladies and gentlemen, is called The Wonderful World of Customer Service at Disney by Jeff Kober and Bob McLean. So I'm going to close with what they say. This is a phrase, and they use an Indian poet here. And it says, I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and found that life was service. I acted, and behold, service was joy. Rabindranath Tagore, this is an Indian poet, they quote him. Really, to me, what does this mean? Customer service, we talk about it all the time, but you have empathy to make that work. And if you don't have it, it doesn't work, and it's an attitude of the heart. So I leave you with this, and I hope you, as you're working, think about the great customer service you can offer at your work, at your clients. Have a great week.